Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Page Podcast. My name is John Mayo, and I'll be your host. It's been a while since I've gone over what I've been getting lately, so I figured I might as well catch up on that. There have been a number of factors that have contributed to me not doing this feature on a weekly basis. One of those factors is that it was starting to cut into my reading time, and I've got a feeling that once I've finished going through the list of what I've gotten over the past couple of weeks, you'll kind of understand why I need as much reading time as I can possibly get. Another factor is that my job has relocated itself to the far side of town. I now have a much longer commute, which has also been cutting into my time considerably. The change in offices also left me without an internet connection at work for a couple of weeks. On the upside, now nearly every comic book store is on the way home, and I'm getting to know the people at the local gas stations a lot better. One of the other reasons I haven't been cranking out too many new episodes lately, or been too visible on the Comic Geek Speak forums recently, is that I haven't been feeling too great lately. A couple of weeks ago, I got violently ill as a result of a chronic health issue, and I still haven't completely bounced back from that yet. At some point, I might do an episode going into the details of that chronic health issue, and reveal my mutant qualifications for joining the X-Men. I think those things might kind of explain some of my opinions on a few matters and some of the comments I've made in the past, but I haven't decided if those things are really worth discussing on the podcast or not. If you have opinions on the matter, please email me and let me know. I've also been spending a fair bit of time reworking my data cleanup and number crunching processes for the sales estimates, analysis, and charting that I do, and that's taken up a fair deal of my time. This spun out of the work I did in preparation for the 2006 Year in Review episode. I've made some good progress, and I should be able to fix a number of things that have been requiring manual intervention each month to work around. At some point, I'll revamp the sales chart section of my website as a result of this, and I should be able to add some cool new features that, at this point, have been previously impossible to do. But enough of me rambling on about things in general. It's time for me to ramble on about comics. This episode covers everything I've gotten over the last 7 weeks, including the items that I just got this week. Most of these are things I've read, but I'm a little behind and I haven't gotten through everything from last week, much less started on this week. I'm going to break from the old format of going week by week and just go alphabetically by title, since there are over 200 items on this list. I also haven't really put together much in the way of notes, so if I start rambling, that's why. So, without further ado...
What did John get this week? February 14th, 21st, 28th, March 7th, 14th, 21st, 28th, 2007.
Like I said, it's been a couple of weeks since I've done one of these. Okay, let's start off with the letter A, Action Comics, number 846 and 847. All new Atom number 9. Amazing Spider-Man number 538 and 539. I'm not a huge fan of J. Michael Straczynski's work on The Amazing Spider-Man overall, but I do think he's been doing some of the best crossover stories and tie-in issues for Civil War. Part of that, though, is just the nature of what a pivotal character Spider-Man has been in that storyline, and I think any competent writer could have turned out some really good stories given the premise and position that the character was in. Annihilation, Heralds of Galactus. Aquaman, Sword of Atlantis, 49 and 50. Astonishing X-Men 20, Athena Voltaire, Flight of the Falcon number 4. I want to give a quick shout out to Steve Bryant, who does Athena Voltaire, Flight of the Falcon. I've of course gotten all 4 issues. I'm planning on picking up the next miniseries he's doing, and I'm hoping to find the time to read the collection of the web stuff that he's done. Big fan of his. I wish him nothing but success on that. Avengers, Earth Mightiest Heroes, Volume 2, Number 6 and 7. I really kind of like how they're going back and telling stories set in the past of the Avengers for this. And the writer is doing a very good job kind of setting the scene and giving a quick recap of, okay, this is where things are at that point in time. I'd like to see a lot more things of this nature done. And frankly, this is kind of what I would expect in terms of a really good version of, like, a Legends of the Dark Knight, Batman Confidentials, JLA, JSA Classified, those sorts of things. I think there's a lot that can be learned from the way this miniseries and the previous one have been done. Back issue number 21, Batman number 663 and 664, Birds of Prey 103 and 104, Black Panther 25 and 26, Blue Beetle number 12 and 13, Brave and the Bold number 1 and 2, and for anyone wondering, I did get both covers of number 1. But since DCBS had them both at 75 cents each, I wound up still saving money off the cover price for even one issue. This is Mark Waid and George Perez. How can you go wrong? This is some really fun stuff, and if you're into the DC Universe at all, this is a good title to be getting. Buffy the Vampire Slayer number 1, Buzzboy Sidekicks Rule number 2, and quite frankly, I was starting to wonder if this was still being published or if it had been canceled. Been so long since the previous issue. Captain America number 25. This came out on March 7th and was the first issue of Captain America to come out this year. I'm kind of wondering if anything interesting happened in it. Catwoman number 64 and 65. Checkmate number 11 and 12, City of Heroes number 18, and finally, Civil War number 7. This came out on February 21st, and after 41 long weeks, the war is over. Now, for Marvel, the antebellum period. But before we finish the Civil War stuff, there's Civil War Battle Damage Report, Civil War Frontline 11, Civil War Initiative, Civil War The Confession, and Civil War Please Let It Be Over Soon. Nah, just kidding on that last one. At some point I need to do an episode on my feelings on Civil War. Overall, it was a good series. I had some issues with the characterization. Obviously it sold well. I thought Marvel made a lot of mistakes that kept it from being an unqualified success. At some point I'll put my thoughts together and do an episode on that. It really deserves one. Crisis on Multiple Earths, The Team-Ups, Volume 2 trade paperback. And note that that's one of the few trade paperbacks on the list. Actually, there's going to be a couple others, I guess. Daredevil, number 94 and 95. Detective Comics. Actually, let's go back to Daredevil for just a second. This is one of those areas where Marvel just doesn't have all their ducks in a row, and has had to have the little footnotes in their comics to explain a few things. Some of the events that are happening in the current Amazing Spider-Man stuff that launched the Back in Black and kind of finish off some of the Civil War crossover things had to take place before current events in Daredevil, or actually not so current events in Daredevil. So they've had to kind of explain that the timeline is shifted off and stuff. Which, I can't help but think, if Civil War had come out on time, if therefore the Amazing Spider-Man issues had come out on time, if they would have been in sync with where Brubaker was on Daredevil. As it is, it's not a major continuity glitch at all, it's just a matter of timing, it's just a little frustrating. But part of that goes kind of on the conceit that everything that comes out in a given week kind of happens at about the same time. I mean, there's really no basis for that. I'll admit that's not an assumption, but a gut feeling I tend to go with, which has no grounds in reality. Okay, Detective Comics 829 and 830, which I believe were the two-part storyline that had Robin having to go save Bruce Wayne, basically, which was a pretty good storyline. I like that. Doctor Strange Oath number 5. Overall, a good series. Looking forward to what they're doing with Doctor Strange in the upcoming DVD. The guy I work for recently brought in a mini comic, which was based on the continuity and story premise and characters of that upcoming DVD, and there are a couple of liberties they took with a few characters, most notably Wong, and he was confused by that, so he's like, okay, John, how come the Wong I'm reading here doesn't match the Wong I remember from the old Doctor Strange books? Flips it open, it's like, well, It's a completely different Wong. Now, granted, they're going to have to make some adaptations and some changes and stuff, but I think the liberties they took, or at least seemed to be taking in that, with the character of Wong, are more than a stretch. Again, not right, not wrong, whatever. It's a different beast. You've got to change a few things. I don't think that was something that had to change or should have changed. Obviously, it caused confusion in at least one person's mind. Okay, let's keep going. Dynamo 5, number 1. This is yet another superhero title out of Jay Faerber, who does Noble Causes, Firebirds, which was a one-shot, and a few other things over at Image. He also did a stretch on Titans before it became, or got relaunched as Teen Titans. And he's a good writer, frequently works with some pretty good artists and stuff. The premise for Dynamo 5, I think, is solid. Most of his things just don't tend to last that long. I'm a little surprised how long Noble Causes has lasted. And he's had to, I don't want to say retool it, but revector it slightly to keep that one going. Okay, let's keep going. Eternals number 7, Exiles 91 and 92, and it's kind of interesting that one of the few Marvel titles to be approaching that issue 100 mark is one that keeps jumping from reality to reality. It seems almost metaphorical for the current state of the comic book industry, where they've got to keep relaunching and retooling things. In this book, they just do it within the title itself as a natural part of it. Which is, of course, part of the brilliance of the premise. Fables 58 and 59, Fantastic Four 543 and 544, Fantastic Four, The End, number 6. This was a title I got on board on late. Picked up, I think, the first four issues kind of after they were out. This is some brilliant Alan Davis stuff. Go pick it up. Pick it up and trade. It's a good read if you're a fan of either Alan Davis and or the Fantastic Four. Next up is 52, issues 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47. As yes, it's been a couple of weeks since I've done this. Some really good stuff has been happening in this series. I had kind of expected by this point things would have kicked into really high gear, and we would just be having issue after issue after issue of kind of wow, oh my god, people can't stop talking about it sort of events. We've certainly gotten that in a few of these. I think the resolution to the Dr. Fate, or not the Dr. Fate, the Helmet of Fate Elongated Man storyline was one of those kind of pivotal, you know, resolution issues. And was really well done. I saw the basic twist on that coming a mile away. Matter of fact, I think I even mentioned it back on the comic timing episode I did with David D, hosted by Ian Levenstein, in which we covered issues 1 through 22. So I'd seen that one coming. Still, was glad to see it panned out the way I had expected. Well, glad in some respects and not so glad in other respects. I'm really curious what's going to happen in the next couple of issues, and seeing how they kind of segue this into Countdown and where the DC Universe goes from here. Fireblast, Adventures in the 30th Century, number 1. This is an independent science fiction book, which I had picked up more because I was interested in just reading a sci-fi ship-based comic book, and this has been interesting so far. It's going to go for at least 4 issues. I'm not sure if it goes beyond that or not. But so far, I'm enjoying it. Art could be a little bit better. It's not bad, but not brilliant. Let me rephrase that. That's harsh. I don't want to say that. The art is good. It is not top-notch. There's a few things where perspective's just a tiny bit off. It does an excellent job conveying the story. There is no confusion. It's not amateurish or anything. It's just not perfect. And I can be a little harsh on artists, and I certainly don't want anyone to think I'm trying to slam the artist on this book, because I'm not. Firestorm the Nuclear Man, issues 33 and 34. Flash, The Fastest Man Alive, number 9 and number 10. Franklin Richards, March Madness. I want to give a quick shout out to Chris Eliopoulos, who does that book. He does every aspect, the writing, the art, inks, I think maybe even the colors, but I could be completely wrong on that. And of course, he letters it. He's one of the few people I would apply the label cartoonist to, in so much as this goes along the lines of, you know, a newspaper cartoon mentality of one person doing virtually all of the work and it being more of a humor-based sort of a thing. And I'm really kind of impressed with that Renaissance man aspect of Eliopoulos. It's a fun book. It goes completely counter to everything in the FF in terms of current continuity and stuff like that, but that's not the point of the book. The point is, what if there was a 6 or 7 year old kid of the Fantastic Four running around in Reed's lab playing around with the gadgets and stuff and the hilarities and hijinks that ensue from there? It's a bizarre hybrid of the Fantastic Four, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and Calvin and Hobbes. If you're not picking this stuff up and you like anything of those things I've mentioned, give it a try. It's worth checking out. Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, number 18. I talked with Chris Johnson over at the Amazing Spider-Cast recently, and we went over all the sales numbers for the last couple of years in the Spider-Man books, and we talked about this title a bit and how Peter David is a writer who I think really is a great choice for a Spider-Man book, but how he just hasn't really seemed to get a fair shake on the title yet with The Other, which launched the book, with Civil War. Peter David hasn't been given, I think, a good opportunity to really find his voice for Spider-Man, his take on Spider-Man, and I think if he had that opportunity, this could be a top-selling book. It's a character that I think really plays to Peter David's strengths as a writer. Okay, next up, G.I. Joe America's Elite, number 21. The G.I. Joe books are fun. If you're not reading them, give them a try. I'm not a G.I. Joe fan from back in the day. It's just as a taking it on the merits of just the comic book, it's good stuff. Girls, number 22 and 23. This ends with the next issue. I need to go pick up probably the trade paperback since I still haven't hunted down the first three issues and therefore haven't read any of these yet. I'm taking this entire series on faith that it's going to be good, but I'm hearing that from enough people, including the person at one of the local comic book stores who gave a really good sales pitch on it. And when I get all the stuff, I'm looking forward to reading it. Green Arrow 71 and 72. Green Lantern 17 and 18. Green Lantern Corps 9 and 10. Hawk Girl 61 and 62. This one has not been put out of our misery yet. I'm giving it time. Helmet of Fate, Black Alice number 1, and Helmet of Fate Zariel, or however you pronounce it, Zariel, I guess, number 1. I think they should have held off on these books and soliciting them for another month or two, particularly given they've apparently had to cancel so they can re-solicit the first few issues of Dr. Fate due to production delays or whatever. And it's unfortunate because if they had simply waited, I think, another month on another, actually 2 months, I think, on the Helmet of Fate solicitations and release, they would not have potentially spoiled one of the storylines in 52. I thought that was unneeded and short-sighted by the people at DC. Hero by Night, number 1. Hero Squared Ongoing, number 5. And based on the solicitations, it may only be ongoing for another half dozen issues at best. Heroes for Hire, number 7 and 8. Idiot's Guide to Creating a Graphic Novel. Okay, this isn't a comic book, it's an actual book, and I'm a process junkie, so of course I got it. Someday I might actually create a graphic novel, although don't hold your breath, I'm particularly lazy and have many other irons in the fire at the moment. Immortal Iron Fist number 3, Incredible Hulk number 104, Invincible number 39, Ion 11 and 12, And this is a series that I think started off weak, had some very interesting issues here and there, and ended really weak. It's one that, having read the entire thing, there were one or two interesting points and revelations, like I mentioned. This could have and should have been done in Green Lantern Corps. I don't think Ion needed a 12-issue series of his own. I don't see the point of this title, and I don't regret having gotten it. It was decent. But I certainly don't think it's a must-read, and everybody should go, you know, hunt it down or whatever. Will some of these things play into future events in the DC Universe? Almost certainly. But it could have been done probably at least as an 8-issue miniseries, possibly even a 6, again, if it even had to be its own miniseries. Iron Man number 15, this is the first post-Civil War issue of Iron Man. And probably the less said about that, the better. I've got mixed feelings about where DC's going, or not DC, I'm sorry, Marvel is going post-Civil War. I got some questions about where DC's going on a few things too, but that has nothing to do with Civil War. Iron Man, Hypervelocity number 3. They seem to keep doing Iron Man miniseries, so we get the illusion of having one Iron Man issue a month, because the main title doesn't always cut it for that. Irredeemable Ant-Man number 6. Once again, Robert Kirkman shows just how low a person can stoop. Fortunately, Kirkman's got a writing outlet for this. I've never met the man personally, and I'm sure he's a really nice guy, but I think he's got the capability of being complete and utter scum based on the stories that come out of him at times. He certainly has a warped mind, and if you're not reading some of his books, go read them, be it Irredeemable Ant-Man. I think he's still doing Ultimate X-Men, obviously Walking Dead, Invincible. Go hunt down the trade of Brit. He's one of the up-and-coming writers, and I think we're going to see a lot of him in the future. I mean, more than we are already. I mean, obviously, he's not an unknown. Jack of Fables, number 8. This is one where they had to pause an ongoing storyline because they didn't finish the second part of a two-parter and decided to insert a four-parter. It's like, come on, guys, get your scheduling in order. JLA Classified 34, 35, and 36. These are all part of the Fourth Dimension storyline, I believe, which has actually been a really good, entertaining story, which is what this title really needed, because both the JLA and JSA Classified titles have been, I don't want to say pointless titles, but ones that don't really seem to justify their existence. There's no aspect that make them must-reads or unique titles. If I were putting out new books at DC, I would make sure that each book has some unique hook, angle, or twist, or identity that makes it unique from everything else on the rack. And unfortunately, the only thing I can really say for JLA and JSA Classified, by and large, is they're just not that good. Certainly the current JLA Classified storyline's been pretty good. There have been a few others, particularly in JSA, that I think have been worth reading. Overall, I'm unimpressed, particularly given the strengths of the Justice League and Justice Society books that they're sort of spin-offs from. Justice number 10, let's see, Justice League of America number 6, Justice Society number 3 and 4. And if you're not reading Justice Society of America, you really should be. It is an excellent series, and I think one of the best ones that DC is coming out with these days. And, well, actually, probably one of the best superhero team books out there right now, period. Magnitude number 3, Manhunter number 28 and 29, Martian Manhunter 7 and 8, which was a good series, not a brilliant one. It wasn't bad. It was one of those where they decided to go investigate the... not investigate, but play up the Martian-ness of Martian Manhunter. And I don't want to say that's kind of a cliche angle to go with on a character, but not one that makes me think, oh wow, this is going to be brilliant. And I know a couple of people who avoided the title because of the change in the look, some of the change in the angle. of the character, and I certainly don't fault them for that. Marvel 1602, Fantastic Four number 5, and I think this fell far short of the mark of the original 1602 miniseries. Marvel Legacy, 1990s handbook. I'm a big fan of the handbooks in general, and this one really showcased just what the 90s were all about. And if you sat out the 90s and didn't pick up the Marvel titles at the time, pick this up and see what you missed. I think you'll agree that your decision to sit out the 90s for Marvel might not have been a bad move at all. Mighty Avengers number 1, Moon Knight number 8, which is the last issue of Moon Knight I'm getting. I've been very unimpressed with the title. Gave up looking for a nice clean stopping point on it and just said enough's enough. Miss Marvel number 13, Mystery in Space number 7, New Avengers 28, New Avengers Illuminati number 2. Somebody recently asked me why that is prefaced with New Avengers, as there are very few New Avengers in the Illuminati. I have no idea. Other than trying to play off the sales benefit of the New Avengers tag, I think it was strictly a marketing point of view, and something to give it a name other than just Illuminati. Let's see, New Excalibur 16 and 17, New X-Men Academy X number 35 and 36, New Universal number 4, Nightwing 130, Noble Causes 27 and 28, OMAC number 8, which was the final issue of that series, Omega Men 5 and 6, Onslaught Reborn number 3, Outsiders 46, Planetary Brigade Origins number 2. This is another one I was wondering if it was still being published since it had been so long since the first issue. Powers 23. Previews, volume 17, number 3 and 4, and I'll talk more about this in a little bit once I've covered everything else. PS 238, 20 and 21. If you're not reading PS 238, go pick it up. It's by Do-Gooder Press. It's published by Dorkstorm Press, I believe. And it is a fun, all-ages look at an elementary school with superpowered kids in it. And it is all-ages. It is not a kid's book. And what I mean by that, it is not written down towards kids. It is perfectly acceptable and appropriate for kids, but it is an all-ages book, and I think literally people of all ages can, will, and should enjoy this. This is one that one of the things that the guy, Aaron Williams, the creator of it, put in a recent letter column, I believe, was it was so good that DC's ripped it off not once but twice. It's the same premise behind Sky High and Zoom, but it's done right, it's done well. Punisher War Journal 4 and 5, PvP 31, Red Menace 4 and 5, Retro Rocket number 4. This was another one that I had wondered what had happened to and was afraid may have gotten canceled, but actually showed up just really late. Robin number 159 and 160. This is a really good book. I like what Adam Beecham and Freddie Williams 2 are doing on this. Out of all the Batman books, this is probably the best one on a regular basis. There's some really good stuff happening in Batman. There's some good stuff happening in Detective. I think those are a little uneven at times because they seem to rotate creators a bit. This has a fairly solid creative team, some really good art, some really good writing. So check out Robin if you're interested in any of the Batman books. Runaways number 24, Rush City number 5. That's right, I got Rush City number 5. I'm sure few people can say that. Ooh, lucky me. Sensational Spider-Man number 35 and 36. Shadow Flame number 1 and 2. Shadow Pack 10 and 11, Sheena preview, She-Hulk Volume 2, Number 16. A few more trade paperbacks. Showcase presents Aquaman Volume 1. Showcase presents Green Lantern Volume 2. Showcase presents Hawkman Volume 1. These are all things that are going to sit on my pile of trade paperbacks to read for a really long time. These things are like 500 pages a piece, and that just takes a little while to find the time to go read. Silent War number 2 and 3, this seems to be flying under a lot of people's radar, and kind of understandably so. It's not bad, it's not great, it's just kind of there. Special Education 2, I want to do a quick shout out to Dave Dwanch, the creator of this book. I met him in San Diego at the comic book convention out there this past year. The guy is hilarious, and this is kind of a, I want to say dark and twisted take, but a certainly more cynical view of something along the lines of PS-238, except instead of being an elementary school, it's a, I believe, a junior high or a high school. I've read the first two issues. It's some good stuff. There have been a few delays getting the others out, but they are coming, and this is a book I think is worth supporting. Like I said, Dave's a great guy. Spider-Man Reign number 4, which I'm not really sure what to say. I read it. I actually liked it a little bit better than Dark Knight, but that's not saying much because I wasn't a huge fan of Dark Knight. This one, I kind of see why they did it. I kind of see why some people liked it. It just didn't work for me. Squadron Supreme, Hyperion vs. Nighthawk, number 3. Super Teen Topia, number 4. This is a fun book. This is a straight-up superhero book with a couple of high schooler age people. And it's not heavy into the melodrama. It's certainly not a mockery of it. It is, I guess the best way to describe it is, in terms of style and tone, similar to some of the early Spider-Man stuff, some of the early Static stuff, and yeah, it's just a fun book. It's one of the more interesting independent superhero books out there, I think. Supergirl number 15, Supergirl and the Legion of Heroes 27, Superman 659 and 660, Superman Batman 32. I also got the Superman Batman Series 3 set of action figures, as well as the Superman Batman vs. Aliens Predator number 2. Next up is Tales of the Unexpected number 5 and 6. I'm enjoying the backup feature with Dr. 13 and those characters a lot more than I'm enjoying the main feature. And part of that is I don't care for the art style. I've never been a huge fan of the Spectre, and I really don't think taking one of the main non-superhero characters out of Gotham Central and essentially turning him into a superhero was really a smart move in the long term. Teen Titans number 44, Thunderbolts 111 and 112. Thunderbolts presents Zemo, Born Better, number 1 and 2. Nice to see some good Tom Grummett art in that series. That's been a lot of fun so far. Trials of Shazam, number 5. Truth, Justin, and the American Way, number 5. If you like the old 80s TV shows, this is the book for you. It's got a very Greatest American Hero vibe to it in a good way. It reads like a sitcom version of that stuff. Ultimate Fantastic Four, number 39 and 40. Ultimate Power, number 4. Ultimate Spider-Man, 106 and 107. Ultimate Vision, number 3. Ultimate X-Men, 79 and 80. Uncanny X-Men, 848. Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters, number 8. Unique, number 1. Walking Dead, 35 and 36. Wolverine, 51 and 52. Wolverine Origins, 11 and 12. Wonder Woman, 4, 5, and 6. Now, 4 came out in February 21st, 5 on March 14th, 6 on March 28th. And I think they got to the point where they had to start getting something out for these issues, and they had to change the contents of number 5 to do that. because they've got to get to, I think, to a certain story point before the Amazon's attack upcoming storyline. I think they really dropped the ball with just how late some of their main titles are getting over at DC because of the high-profile writers and creators they're getting on it. I think they're taking action to try to prevent that from happening again in the future. I think they've learned from this. Time will tell if that's the case or not. X-23, Target X number 4, X-Factor 16 and 17, and X-Factor is one of the best mutant books out there these days. It's written by Peter David and well worth checking out. X-Men 196 and 197, and finally X-Men First Class 6 and 7. So, there you have it. That's most of what I've gotten over the past 7 weeks. It doesn't include a few things I've picked up locally, like Amazing Spider-Girl number 1 through 6, and the first trade paperback of Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, along with issues 7 through 14 of that title. Both of those are fun titles and one I'll be adding to my DCBS order in coming months. And, speaking of my monthly DCBS order, the new previews catalog just came out, as I mentioned a little earlier. Every month, I do a conference call on Skype with Bob Retall and whoever else wants to join in, going over previews for the month. Skype is an internet telephony program that lets you make free calls on the internet. Basically, it's a phone on the internet. The program itself is free. To get it, just go to skype.com, that's skype.com, and download it. Aside from a computer and an internet connection, the only other thing you're going to need to join in on the discussions is a headset and a microphone. Skype is very easy to use. You can do direct peer-to-peer calling, and if everyone's on the internet, there is no call. For a little bit of a fee, you can also use it to dial actual telephones. My Skype username is thejohnmayo.com. And that's not because I'm any kind of an egomaniac, but John Mayo was taken, so I figured something I'd remember would be THE John Mayo. In these monthly conference calls, Bob and I go through previews, starting at the beginning, and discuss what's being offered and what we're planning on getting. I try to always have my DCBS order form in front of me and pretty much filled out before the call starts. We tend to go over the front section of the catalog in some detail, with Dark Horse, DC, Marvel, and Image. And frequently only cover the items in the back half that caught our attention. We don't do necessarily a page-by-page accounting of previews, because it's 500-plus pages. Add in another 100 for the Marvel previews thing, and that would just take days. As it is, we try to keep it to just hours. But, you know, we cover whatever people are interested in talking about. If people have questions about a given book, we talk about that. If they're thinking about getting something but on the fence, we'll talk about that. If people just have questions on what's going on about in a certain title or with a character or a creator or who somebody is, we'll talk about that. So the discussion sometimes tends to go in various digressions, and we try to keep the discussion spoiler-free by just checking with the people on the call. You know, hey, have you read this? Before mentioning anything which might ruin a story for somebody. That just seems like the polite way to do it. Now, everybody is welcome to join in on this call. This next call is scheduled for Friday evening, April 8th, at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern. We usually do these calls on a Saturday afternoon, but because of Easter, we decided to hold this one on a Friday night. If we end up with more people than can fit into a Skype conference call, which is, I think, limited to like 5 or 6, we'll switch over to a Skype cast at that point. If we do that, I'll explain to everybody at the time how to join in on the Skype cast. It's basically just calling another phone number. To join in on the discussion, just send me a chat message in Skype when the call starts around that 4 p.m. Central Time on Saturday, April 9th, and I'll add you in. You don't need to have a copy of previews and or the DCBS order form with you during the call, but it is helpful. That's what Bob and I used to kind of guide the discussion. For more information on the call, check out the April's preview Skype call thread on the comic book page forums in the general discussion section. And yes, I have added a forum to my website. I considered getting one over at the Comic Geek Speak, as all the cool people seem to be doing, But, you know, I didn't want to lower the Cyberscape property values over there by doing so. And, you know, I've got another number of other things already on my website. Since I had that, I figured, what the hell, I'll play around and see if I can set up a form. I use my website as much for kind of brushing up my technical skills and internet savvy as anything else. So feel free to stop on over there and kick the tires on the forum. Check out the charts I've got. Check out my coverage of the San Diego Comic-Con. And just tell me what you think of the website. I'm always trying to make it better. Also, it's possible I might have a burst of energy at some point and start kicking out a bunch of new episodes in rapid succession. Don't hold your breath for that, but it's possible. So, if you haven't already done so, you might want to look at your podcast aggregator settings and set it to get more than just the most recent episode of the podcast, so you don't miss any of them. In iTunes, there is a setting for that, and depending which version of iTunes it is, it's located in one or two different places. I'm not promising that I'm going to have such a burst of energy and crank out a lot of stuff, but I've got a number of ideas for some episodes I want to do. It's just a matter of finding the time and energy to record them. Well, I think that about wraps up this episode of the Comic Book Page Podcast. My name is John Mayo, and I've been your host. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is podcast@comicbookpage.com, and I've got a forum over on my website at comicbookpage.com. Thanks for listening.